This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City. By Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. And by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years. But at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
Hawkeye Steel, located at Exit 44 off Interstate 55 at Mount Olive in White City, is now open Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. Visit them about metal sidings for roofs, sidewall, and interior liners, miscellaneous surplus items such as shelving, air compressors, and more. They also are a steel warehouse for angles, channels, flats, pipe, tubing, and more. Come see their portable cattle sheds. They can custom make livestock buildings to your specifications. Call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. 11 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. May wheat trading at 7.11 and 3 quarter, down 4 and a half. July wheat trading at 7.18 and 3 quarter, down 4 and 3 quarter. May corn trading at 6.95 and a quarter, up 3 quarter. July corn trading at 6.46 and 3 quarter, down 2. May soybeans trading at 14.96 and a quarter, up a nickel. And July beans trading at 14.16 and a quarter, up 7 and 1 half. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat ended the day at 7.16 and a quarter, up 19 and a half. July wheat ended the day at 7.23 and a half, up 17 and a half. September wheat, 7.31 and a half, up 16 and a quarter. May corn yesterday ended the day at 6.94 and a half, up 19 and 1 half. July corn ended at 6.48 and 3 quarter, up 15 and 3 quarter. September corn ended at 5.66, up 12 and a quarter. May soybeans yesterday ended the day at 14.91 and a quarter, up 12 and a quarter. July beans ended at 14.08 and 3 quarter, up 18. August beans ended at 13.40, up 10 and a half. May soybean meal yesterday ended at 4.40.10, up 1.48. August meal, 4.13.20, up 56. September meal ended at 3.87.70, up 25. May soybean oil yesterday ended at 49.07, up 41. July oil, 49.22, up 40. August oil, 48.97. That's 48.97, up 37. May oats yesterday ended the day at 4.13, up 4 and a quarter. July oats, 3.82 and a half, up 4 and a quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. And the Illinois country grain prices did end sharply higher on Thursday afternoon. Technical trading at the Board of Trade helped to boost corn, wheat, and soybean values. Many traders also evened positions ahead of Friday's release of the new supply-demand forecast by the USDA. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 15 to 16 cents stronger at 672 to 689. Soybeans mostly 18 cents higher at 1469 to 1489. In central Illinois, cut to grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 16 to 19 cents stronger at 674 to 685. Soybeans were up 19 to 24 cents at 1491 to 1504. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 16 to 21 cents at 668 to 689. Soybeans were up 18 to 21 cents at 1480 to $15. And the wheat prices gained 18 cents at 704 to 725. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids gained 18 cents at 1519 to 1544. Basis ended steady, ranging from 110 to 135 over July. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $14.80 a ton to range from $4.55.10 to $4.70.10. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 16 cents at $6.89 to $7.04 with basis steady ranging from $40 to $55 over July. Illinois River Bars Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 16 to 19 cents stronger at 691 to 697, with basis steady to 3 cents stronger at 42 to 48 over July. Soybeans up 12 to 19 at 1510 to 1513, with basis ending mixed range from 101 to 104 over July. New crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery gained 18 cents on Thursday to range from 713 to 717, with basis steady, ranging from 10 under to 6 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 16 cents higher at 683 to 684. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 18 cents, with quotations at 1523 to 1524. Soft red winter wheat up 18 cents at 743 to 744, and Milo gained 16 cents on Thursday at 658 to 659. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 507 up to 516. New crop bean bids 1179 to 1189. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 508 to 524. New crop soybean bids 1185 to 1206. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 511 up to 527. New crop soybean bids 1186 to 1204. And the new crop wheat bids in southern Illinois, those bids range from 690 up to 720. That concludes our grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. May hogs ended the day at $92, up $2. June hogs, $90.57, down $1.20. July hogs, $91.22, down $0.67. June cattle yesterday ended at $120.55, up $35. August cattle, $120.52, up $52. October cattle, $123.75, up $62. May feeder cattle yesterday ended the day at $135.75, up $15. August feeders, $145.97, up $65. September feeders, $147.85, up $90. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with your afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded $1.33 higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded the range of $77 to $95, with a weighted average carcass price of $88.69. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 42 to 45, 4 to 5 weights 43 to 48, the 5 to 550 weights 49 to 50, and 550 and up $50 to $51. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts and country buying points traded steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand and offerings ranging in price from 58 to 62. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 10,420 head. And from the Fairview Special Bred Cow and Calf Fair sale from May 7th, they had receipts of 434 head. Starting with the bred cows, medium and large twos, second stage, the youngs were bringing 1125 to 1300, some fancies at 14 to 1475. And the middle-aged cows were 1075 to 1360, and the aged were 1,000 to 1,150. Third stage, young cows were 1,125 to 1,375, the fancies at 1,425, middle-aged cows at 1,025 to 1,275, and the fancies at 1,450. Aged cows are bringing 1,000 to 13 and a quarter. Cow-calf pairs, large one, starting with the youngs, they were 1,900 to 2,600, middle age 1,425 to 2,300, and the age 1,150 to 1,575. From the Greenville Livestock Auction for May 8th, had receipts of 626 head, and starting with the choice slaughter steers, they're bringing 125 to 131, choice slaughter Holsteins 114 to 118.50, and choice slaughter heifers 125 to 128. On to the slaughter cows, the boners were 80 to 83.50, lean 72 to 79, and on to the feeder steers, medium and large ones, 5 to 6 weights, 134 to 146, the 6 to 7 weights, 129 to 133, and the 7 to 8 weights, 120 to 140. Feeder Holstein steers, large number 3s, they were 5 to 6 weights were 90 to 101, the 6 to 7 weights, $88 to $98, and the feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 to 5 weights, 133 to 151, and the 5 to 6 weights, 124 to 132. Now for the Walnut Livestock Sales Opening Report for May 9th. They had receipts of 175 head, and the choice slaughter steers are bringing 128.75 to 130.25, choice slaughter heifers 127 to 129.75. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 124.50 to 127 and on a dress basis 202. The heifers on a live basis were 124.50 to 127.50 and on a dress basis 202. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 357 loads, and calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $89.17, and that was $1.45 higher. The National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for some choice and select beef carcasses were higher. Choice carcasses were $205.49, that's 82 cents higher, and select carcasses were $191.03, and that was 40 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000. That compared to 119,000 last week and 129,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was established at 412,000, which compared to 410,000 last week and 419,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 161 and three quarter, down one and a quarter. For block cheese, 185 and three quarter, down three quarter. For barrel cheese, 172 and a quarter, down one and a quarter. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Thursday, 1858, a penny below Wednesday's close. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.84. For June, $6.85. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.76. And for June, $6.77. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $14.94. And for June, $14.43. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.08. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $6.84, corn at Scottville, $6.76, beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.94, and wheat at Scottville, $7.08. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. Time now for a check of Color Radar weather. Color Radar showing scattered light showers at this point south of I-70 and east of Route 127 and moving off to the east. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
You only get one chance to leave your mark on the land you love. Your farm is your life. The choices you make, the seed you plant, will all affect the legacy you pass down to future generations. So choose a brand with a legacy all their own, FS High Soy. The first proprietary soybean brand, High Soy, has been a part of the land for nearly 50 years, so no one knows the territory better. So grow proud and pass it on. Talk to your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company, powered by Green Plan Solutions. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies across mid-Illinois today. Scattered showers possible. High temperatures in the upper 60s. We will have northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Low temperatures in the low 50s. And for tomorrow, Saturday, partly cloudy. A chance of a shower. The high in the mid-60s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday. Partly cloudy and warmer. Low temperatures in the low 60s. Highs in the mid-80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have cloudy skies, 60 degrees. Rain totals around the area over the past 24 hours. Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville, a half inch of rain. An inch and a half recorded by Kyle Schmedeke of Irving. 0.6 inch recorded by Rich Henry of Staunton. And here at the Weather Center, 0.9 inch of rain. Once again, 60 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
What do you know? It's the big John Deere Green Tag event. It's Sloan's biggest deer season event of the year. It's tags on, dollars off. Like $800 off the Gator RSX850i. It's a whole new species of gator. The John Deere Green Tag event going on now. Offer ends 5/31/13. Visit any of Sloan's 17 Wisconsin and Illinois locations for details. Online at Sloan's.com or like us on Facebook. Powered up with
Sloan's. 6:26 on this Friday morning in the news. On Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink, and we asked him about potential insect problems in the area's wheat and forage crops.
Well, I have been in several alfalfa fields, and I guess I was really surprised at the extent of alfalfa weevil damage. Now, I talked to some producers who have sprayed 2-3 weeks ago. And this surprised me a little bit, and going back into these fields now, and there seems to be a resurgence of weevil again. So, you know, keep in mind that these insecticides only have a window of about 3 weeks or so of protection. So it doesn't surprise me with the heavy infestation, heavy population of weevil that they're coming back. But now, it's time to get the alfalfa harvested. And if there is an application made now, make sure that you look at the harvest interval. Some of these have, 7-day intervals. Some have as high as a 14-day interval. So I imagine producers are wanting to get out there as soon as they possibly can now to harvest. So you need to be careful as to what insecticide you're going to use if you are, in fact, going to apply an insecticide to the alfalfa. As far as wheat is concerned, wheat has been, I've been in several fields again, and surprisingly, it seems very healthy. I haven't seen much evidence of any disease at all, particularly on the flag leaf, which has now emerged. We're in the growth stage 8, 9. Even down in Madison County, I saw some boot stage wheat, which is growth stage 10. But very, very little disease showing up right now. But we are going into a very critical time for wheat, where that flag leaf needs to stay protected. So even though you don't see much now, get out and scout the field very rapidly. Get out at least a couple of times a week, because these kind of weather conditions, the cool, wet weather, can bring on, scab, wheat scab or septoria or some of these other diseases. So it's very important to get out there and scout those wheat fields.
What do you do for the scab and septoria that you just mentioned?
Well, there's some fungicides, some good fungicides. There's one called Prosaro, which is a good one that needs to be applied. That'll protect the flag leaf. And if you don't have the wheat scab, there's several others, Headline, there's some Quilt, and there's other fungicides that can protect that flag leaf from, the septoria diseases. But as far as the wheat scab, and I'm always more concerned about wheat scab, Fusarium head blight, than I am these other diseases. So, if you're going to make an application, I would suggest strongly considering something like Prosaro or some other type of fungicide that is labeled for Fusarium head blight.
Bill, anything else?
No, I think now it's there's not a sense of urgency yet. But if we do get the showers that come through as predicted this weekend, then I think there will become a sense of urgency as we approach the middle of May. But again, we can get this crop planted so fast, and I think you need to have some patience and wait for ground conditions to determine, you know, when to go out and start planting. I know we're getting late in the calendar, but it's very important that the ground conditions are more ideal. Now, I know as we get closer to the end of May, you know, we can say, well, we're going to look at the calendar now. But still, yet here in the middle of May, we should let ground conditions determine, you know, when it's suitable to plant.
That was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Since early February, the price of December corn futures in Chicago have traded in an erratic 70-cent pattern. Todd Gleason reports this in part because the CME exchange contract has been affected by both old and new crop fundamentals.
Last year's short corn crop is still holding the price of grain higher. This is the case even in new crop futures months at the CME Group's Chicago Board of Trade. Higher in spits and spurts, at least, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. Now, the December corn futures sometimes trade the short 2012 corn harvest and sometimes the potential for a bumper 2013 crop and sometimes the delay to the start of the planting season.
New crop futures have been choppy over the past 2 weeks as the start to planting in the Corn Belt has been delayed. As usual, planting delays raise questions about the likely magnitude of corn acreage and the potential impact on average yields. Some indication of the potential acreage impact of planting delays is revealed in the historic acreage response in years of such late planting. Since 1990, there have been 10 years when the USDA's weekly crop progress report indicated that 20% or more of the corn crop was planted late by our definition. The final USDA estimate of planted acreage was less than intentions reported in March in 9 of those 10 years.
However, the actual difference between the intentions and the actual plantings was significant only in 2 of the 10 years, 1993 and 1995, when more than 40% of the corn crop was planted late.
In the other 7 years, when planting ranged from 20 to 37% late, acreage was less than intentions by an average of only 335,000 acres.
Here's the 1 year exception. It's 2009. That year, farmers planted the corn crop late, on a pace 29% behind the 5-year average. Even so, they kept the planters rolling and eventually put 1.4 million acres more in the ground than had been intended.
In the 10 years since 1990, with the largest percentage of the crop planted late, the U.S. average yield was below trend 5 times, about equal to trend in 2 times, and above trend in 3 times. The largest of the 5 yield shortfalls were in extreme late planted years of 93 and 95. Ironically, the largest yield shortfalls relative to trend in modern history were in the early planted years of 1988 and 2012, and in 1983 when plantings were delayed modestly.
As to this year, Darrell Good says the likely number of acres planted to corn remains uncertain. The recent rains are beneficial, he thinks, and there is still plenty of time to plant a good yielding corn crop. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
A recent study funded by the Soy Checkoff shows overall oil levels in the 2012 U.S. soybean crop increased by 0.3 of a point to 18.5%, but protein fell a half point to 34.3%. University of Minnesota soybean agronomist Seth Nave was in charge of the annual soybean quality survey, and he says the crop was still pretty good considering the drought conditions it experienced.
The weather has a dramatic impact on soybean quality. Based on when we have drought, it can either produce higher protein levels or lower protein levels. And because the drought nationally affected regions differently, we weren't sure exactly how it would play out everywhere.
For this year's crop, the Soy Checkoff will implement a new program to monitor weather conditions in soybean test plots and compare that with quality outcomes and variety performance. Nave says there is one tool a farmer can use to improve soybean quality with or without a drought.
It's all about variety selection. In terms of within the year of the drought, there's really nothing that they can do except when they have access to water for irrigation.
In general, Nave says the highest protein varieties tend to be higher protein in most environments.
The protein level is fairly stable across the varieties, and the ranking of individual varieties tends to be the same in different spots. If it turns out to be a low protein year next year, that tends to reduce the protein level in everything.
Nave recently presented results of the study to buyers in Asia with the U.S. Soybean Export Council. He says those customers want to know what U.S. soybean producers are doing to ensure high-quality seed long-term.
In the short term, they're really most interested in overall supply. So they want to know about the growing conditions and how the drought impacted yield primarily within regions of the U.S.
For more information, visit unitedsoybean.org. The official committee print of the 2013 Farm Bill is now available on the Senate Agriculture Committee website. According to Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow, the bipartisan 2013 Farm Bill represents the most significant reform of American agriculture policy in decades. She notes the era of direct payments comes to an end with the Agriculture Reform, Food and Jobs Act, with the bill creating risk management tools that support farmers when they are negatively impacted by weather disaster or market events beyond their control. According to Senator Stabenow, by ending unnecessary subsidies, streamlining and consolidating programs, and cracking down on abuse, the bill will yield a total of $23 billion in cuts to agriculture programs, including cuts made due to the sequester. She notes that is more than double the amount recommended by the bipartisan Simpson-Bowles Commission and the Gang of Six. Senator Stabenow says the Senate's 2013 Farm Bill strengthens top priorities that help farmers, ranchers, and small business owners create jobs. With the current Farm Bill set to expire September 30th, Senator Stabenow says Congress must pass legislation this year to provide farmers the certainty they need to keep driving our economic recovery. She says 16 million jobs hang in the balance. The committee is set to mark up the measure next Tuesday. And the House Agriculture Committee will mark up the Farm Bill next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. The committee formally announced that markup yesterday. As we close on this Friday morning, once again in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, May wheat now trading at 7.09¾, down 6.5. July wheat trading at 7.17¾, down 5¾. May corn now trading at 6.93½, down a penny. July corn trading at 6.46¾, down 2. May soybeans now trading at 14.94½, up 2¾. July beans trading at 14.14, that's up 5¼. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.